hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
We are here this afternoon, or this evening, rather. The whole day's just been a bit of a blur for me. I've been trying to sort out cables and doing some work and everything like that. We are here today to notice Chizzy's arm appears in my shot now as well. That's fantastic. We're going to talk about a number of things. We've got a lot of good announcements that's happened. There's a couple of games that have come out. In fact, three kind of big games that we've talked about in the show up till now. We had BlizzCon last week, so we've got a few things to talk about in there.
So we'll start just by introducing. We've got Sam and Chiz. How are you this evening, gentlemen?
We're here.
You are. We have something of a video stream. Chiz is a bit see-through. I'm a bit see-through. But we're only on the third time. So, you know, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I'm more upset, like, I don't know what sort of world we live in anymore, where I've seen a video of a seal penguin.
Oh, jeez! Come on! 10 minutes 20, that's... Yeah. We've got a buzz already!
Has anyone else seen that video?
Yeah, it's all about the
so disturbing. It's like, what is going on in that seal's head?
We're not even... Was that on the show a little while ago that I was on about the dolphin sex thing? Oh, no, dear. We'll not go into it.
I was told I was going to be on a video game.
We tell you a lot of things.
Gone into the wrong room. I'm not sure what's happening.
I don't know if you saw in the show notes, there was a whole animal sex section you were supposed to fill out.
Yeah, so that voice you heard was, of course, Patrick Beja. Thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully, you'll not be completely scared off the British Tech Network after joining this show.
All the other ones are quite good.
I'm sure I've seen worse. But thank you very much for inviting me. It's really great to be able to be invited on video game shows again. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, of course. So you have your own video game show now. You've got Pixels. You're just on the second pre-beta, you're calling it?
Yeah, it's really, so I really wanted to start doing shows really quickly. We'll get to why maybe in a few minutes, but and we've done two episodes at this point. The first one was a state of the industry summary that lasted for about 2 hours, really heavy stuff, but comprehensive. And by the end of it, if you don't know everything about video games, you probably will. I mean, I hope so. At least the state video games are in now. The second one is a BlizzCon summary. So if you're into that, you can find it there, and we'll have more episodes soon.
Yeah, so
we're going to also talk about BlizzCon on this show as well. Or more importantly, we're going to talk about Overwatch, I think. It's probably the main thing we're going to cover in this show. Sorry, I was just talking about something else. We'll move on, we'll push on. So we're going to start off with just a few kind of bad things that have happened. And a couple of episodes, games that have come out recently. Halo Master Chief Collection and Assassin's Creed. So since our last show, Halo Master Chief Collection has come out, so Assassin's Creed Unity. They've been released, but they're both unfortunately broken. You had a lot to kind of say about this. You were chatting about this
On our Facebook group the other day, particularly the Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yeah, well, from what everything I've read online about it, it just seemed to be that they've released a game, which
that was my favourite one.
That they've basically released a game which, well, it's probably 6 months from being finished. And
because it's Ubisoft, obviously a plan of releasing Assassin's Creed every year,
it's usually every November they've got a set plan, and rather than delaying the game like they did with Watch Dogs, which they needed to do with this one, I think, they obviously just got it out anyway in an unfinished state. And I say, I don't blame it to developers. They're obviously trying to make the best game they can, and they probably needed another 6 months to finish it off, but it's Ubisoft and its publishers have released an unfinished game and basically used the public as beta testers.
It does kind of feel like that. I mean, they've released two patches as it stands just now. A third one's supposed to be coming soon. And it's not even fixing like small things there. So I was just showing on the screen there. I mean, some of the bugs that you're seeing is the actual faces of some of the characters and NPCs and things like that are missing. There's things like when you jump off of buildings
and arrive on your little hay bales and little hay carts and stuff like that, you get the Assassin's Creed. You actually fall through them as well.
This is Assassin's Creed. I thought it was like the hills have
minds crossing. That's in screen or...
No one's eaten that face. Nobody has eaten that face, no.
It's not like it's children's sweetheart, so that's what a small child is.
Is it really?
I didn't know that.
It looks like an alien from Mars attacks. I think somebody's actually made the effort to do a little bit of modern art out of this as well.
So I haven't played the game. I'm sort of wondering if these issues are super common, like you'll encounter them every 10 minutes, or is it the kind of thing where people are taking screenshots when something incredible happens and it only happens once every 15, you know, levels?
More than possible.
Unfortunately, I don't think any of us have played it, but I've got one friend who has played it, and I asked him to send me a blurb on it, and... I don't know, quick read it out. Guys are in quite a bit.
Prepared, as always.
This is from Scott Roy, who's the brother of, well, unfortunately, he's the brother of Ross Roy, who's a knob. are you joking, Ross?
Who says that there's nothing wrong with it, didn't he, really?
Yeah, he had no problem. He's saying, everything he's read online, is, like, from what he's experienced, he's not really come across it, but he says he's only played about 15% of it so far, so he's not that far into it. It's graphically, you can notice a big difference, especially the cutscenes, the scenery, the city and the surroundings look fantastic, but still got a huge amount to explore. He hasn't experienced any glitches that he's noticed so far.
Glitches, you know, they could be them as well.
It's coming towards Christmas, that's when the glitches come out.
The city's packed with people, so a lot of barging going on if you run through the streets, which may bother some people. And he's enjoying the combat, which he says it feels a bit slower, but he's noticed that the weapons all have all the weapons have got whether how hard they are or how fast they are, so maybe he just needs to get a different sort of weapon set to speed up the combat. But he seems to be enjoying it so far, and as I said, he's not experienced many of the glitches himself, so maybe this is just the media and a lot of the hardcore game blown out of proportion.
I wouldn't say it's the media. Apparently, I mean, it seems the game has real issues.
Yeah.
I'm just, when you look at the news, obviously you're going to see the issues that people are talking about. So it does give kind of an impression that they're everywhere in the game. I just wanted to, you know, get an understanding of how prevalent they are, because I don't know if you guys remember, but when Red Dead Redemption came out, there were these horrible glitches where you would have like characters fly around everywhere, Jaguar being replaced by humans in the thing.
I love that.
The running in the thing. It was terrible. But in the end, the actual game only saw a little fraction of that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's acceptable or that it should, you know, that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. I just want to, you know, make sure that it's not everywhere all the time that every single NPC has no face, obviously.
No, I don't think it's like that at all.
It does appear to be a lot more prevalent than... it seems a little more prevalent still in the Red Dead Redemption from what I can remember.
I played Red Dead Redemption, I didn't have any major glitches at all.
I don't recall them.
I saw them all online, but it was fine for me unless you did certain things that seemed to happen. But I think actually the most sort of glitchy game I've played would be Fallout 3, New Vegas, and Skyrim, probably. But
I never had those problems.
But I found them quite. But it was never to a point where it was game breaking. I still really enjoyed the game, but even though it did have a few sort of bad points, but the game was so good, you kind of forgave it. And I think Assassin's Creed maybe going down the same route, but I think because a lot of people feel it's maybe a game that's kind of it's milked every year, that it's more of a target.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
Small vocal minority just chatting really loud.
It's got problems in quite a lot more so than your standard game, which isn't cool.
It's maybe
also people kind of ganging up on them a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, you kind of come expect with some of these games issues with networks, issues with multiplayer, kind of connecting, which is the problem that Master Chief Collection's got as well, is the connecting through the network to do multiplayer games and kind of all that kind of stuff as well. This one certainly has that issue as well. Drive Club's had that issue too. I mean, you've been quite vocal, Chiz, on how bad the last was it Call of Duty, or I forget, it was Battlefield or Call of Duty,
Battlefield 4 was basically unplayable for me for even months after release.
Yeah,
it was still terrible lag.
you know, it's kind of, people are begrudgingly accepting now that games are sometimes, especially on the network side, not really ready at launch. And it's not, okay, it's not always that they're not ready. I mean, we've seen with the Warlords of Draenor, the World of Warcraft expansion, that had a lot of problems at launch last week. And I think the really important thing is that there are going to be problems for some games at launch. That's kind of unavoidable. What we really want to look at is how the company reacts and how quickly they manage to fix them. At this point, I think I should disclose the fact that I used to work at Blizzard Entertainment. And that was, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I was still there. So I'm certainly not an unbiased party, especially when in regards to that company. But Blizzard has launched Warlords of Draenor, and they've had really bad problems, possibly with a DDoS attack as well last week. But
wasn't that more server-based as opposed to the game itself, though?
So it was server-based for sure, but they worked. That lasted for about a couple of days. On Saturday, things were getting better, and on Sunday, everything was playable, and the game launched on Thursday. So I think that's the level of problems we kind of can live with, or we have to live with. We don't have a choice, especially with network congestion when a million people try to get on the same server. What's a little bit more concerning is when you have things like Battlefield, which hasn't been playable, which had not been playable for a few weeks. I think Diablo had a little bit of that, Diablo 3, with it lasted a little bit longer, although the connections were also a couple of days. But you have a lot of games that get unplayable because everyone's trying to log in.
Sure.
And that's to be expected. Not acceptable, maybe, but it's frustrating, but it's, you know, there's not a lot you can do. The problems with the faces missing and all of that, and I guess if it gets fixed within, you know, a week or so, I'm okay with that. If it lasts for 3, 4, 5 weeks, then it's more of a problem.
Yeah. See, I'm less inclined to agree with you. Server issues and things like that, I think that's kind of acceptable because you can predict only to a certain point what kind of traffic you're going to have and the problems that traffic's going to cause. But releasing a game with major graphical glitches to it, that is putting out something that isn't even remotely finished.
I think to say remotely finished is probably a little bit.
Well, I'm a talentless prick, so I'm lying, but, you know.
I have the same thing with Grand Theft Auto. When Grand Theft Auto 5 and the online game came out, nobody could get on, but that was because of the volume of the server. But there didn't appear to be any major glitches with the game.
Yeah, I guess it's up two different things.
Generally, if
a game's got a large sort of multiplayer component, a lot of companies try and do a beta. A live beta. I was just trying to think. Titanfall and Destiny had, even though they're basically online only games, their launches actually went relatively smoothly, I think, because I played both
Destiny
of them
was
at
perfect,
launch.
Yeah,
and like you get the odd thing, but it was nothing like I lost connection a couple of times, but after a few days, it was totally fine. And you could play it from day one.
But do you think
the connection there, and it's maybe just the games that we've actually listed there, the connection with all those games there where we're saying there's a problem was games that are sitting on a deadline. So every new Battlefield comes out. Every year, these other games like the Master Chief Collection and Assassin's Creed came out. And the game that we're saying was okay was Destiny, which was one that wasn't actually an expected release, as in you have to pump this out every year. It was a brand new IP. Do you think it's just because they had a little bit more time for it to make something happen instead of having to push it out over the door?
Yeah, although it was Battlefield 4, I'm sure they had a bit as well, but obviously didn't help.
They still had a deadline though that they had to pump it out for that point in the calendar, because if it didn't,
I'm sure someday was quite scratch and go, here's a deadline, done a better, we're not going to have this done in time.
Nice, yeah. Related to that, of course, is the Drive Club saga that we talked about 6 weeks ago. What's interesting about this one is they don't appear to have actually fixed the problem yet. But what they have done, which I guess you kind of have to say is kind of semi acceptable, is that they've come out and said that they're actually going to make two DLC packs that were supposed to come out in November. They're actually going to make those free to everybody who have the problem. Which, yes, is kind of nice, but still, you know what, guys, just fix the problem.
Yeah, but you know, it's... I mean,
sorry.
Just fix the problem. I mean, it's a... I think someone made an interesting comparison, and I understand it's not the same for Drive Club, mm-hmm. but it's like complaining about the traffic jams when you go to a stadium the night of a big game. There are going to be traffic jams, and it's not like you can do anything about it. And I understand this applies to network issues, and not necessarily to the fact that the game isn't, you know, it's localized network issues for a couple of days when everyone's rushing in.
Sure,
certainly, Drive Club is not in that category, but just fix it is. I don't know. It's an expression of internet frustration more than something constructive. And maybe it applies to Drive Club and to Battlefield, but it's not like they're not trying to fix it, right? It's not like they're throwing their hands up in the air and going like, well, I guess that game's botched. so, you know, it's. I understand the frustration. I understand the reaction. I understand all of it. But... I'm sure they're working hard. I'm not sure the problem lies on them not trying to fix it now that it's released. I don't know where the problem lies.
What I read on, like, when I played Air Drive Club, but it was it's Eurogamer. I think the game from a gameplay sort of playable side and graphics is actually all done. It's from a server side. They seem to be having it. I'm not entirely sure what the problem is. And by no means an expert, but it seems to be a server-side thing which is kind of dragged on for a while now, which they've still not quite got to the bottom of. I think it is a lot better now than what it was. But
yeah, which, and it has been 6 weeks, I guess, that is.
Yeah, I think that's my issue. I completely agree that there is too much of it. I don't care what the problem is, just move on. But when it's been 6 weeks, and I don't think it can be dealing with server congestion anymore because a lot of people have just been out.
Sold their game.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's a case of
maybe they aren't trying as hard because have they just kind of went, you know what? I screwed that one up a little bit.
I can't believe that. That I will not believe that they're just saying, well, you know what? I noticed you're swearing, so I'm
guessing. I bleep the bad ones, but you're good to go.
Okay. Just do it.
So, swear as much as you want. It's a fun game.
Something to do.
So I'm guessing, I don't think they're going to go, obviously they're going to go like, well, never mind, we'll just let it go. I'm hearing myself. I have some feedback. I don't know what's happening. Oh. I think one important thing to look at is what they're doing to fix it. And getting the DLC that they were planning on charging for free to everyone, that's okay, right?
Yeah,
it's okay, but
it's a good gesture, right? Which they kind of
They're not going to basically after 6 weeks, they're not going to make everyone feel okay about it. There's no way. It's just too bad a situation. Even if they make it work now, it's still going to have been 6 weeks where it didn't work. So I think giving out like what was it, $30 worth of DLC to everyone. That's cool. That's an okay gesture. I don't know what else they could be doing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's something to do with the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live, but they're doing a lot more games on Xbox Live, like there's Forza Horizon 2, which is
an online component as well, and it seems to have went pretty smoothly at launch, as far as I'm aware. And there's a few others. I don't know if Xbox Live just seems to be better set up than the PlayStation Network, although Halo the Master Chief Collection is a bit broke at the moment. I've been trying to do a bit of co-op with some friends, and it's been really laggy. And when we tried playing multiplayer, it takes ages to get into a game, and it's a bit laggy. But if you do like a private session, like a game you put together yourself and play with friends, I think it just, it's not over a dedicated server. I think it's just player-to-player, and that seemed to work fine. But as I said, I think there's a fix apparently, they're launching a patch near the end of this week. So hopefully that'll fix the major issues with that. Mm. Because obviously it's Halo and I want to jump online and play that.
Indeed.
Sony announced this week the PlayStation View, spelled like the UK cinema chain, not VIEW, because it's cool and web stuff. apparently, this, well, what the Spears are doing is they are trying to kind of get into the. they're trying to get more into the family entertainment hub kind of side of things, which is very similar to what Xbox originally tried to do. Guys, we're trying to do a professional thing here. trying to get more into the living room for the family entertainment hub. So basically, PlayStation View is going to be more of a kind of a Netflix come iPlayer, I suppose, to a degree, and recording TV service, kind of like TiVo or something like that, but in the crowd, in the cloud. It will allow you to store favourite shows, and it will actually automatically record your favourite shows for up to 28 days from the point you originally started, and it's always going to be recording 3 days past, irrelevant of what you said your favourite shows or not. It's currently invite only in the US, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 orders, and planned for an iPhone, iPad quarter one release in 2015. No pricing available as of yet. I'm quite interested in this. I imagine
every other TV stream thing is, wait, do we need another one?
So this one, this one is different though. I mean, yes, okay, you've got Netflix already, and it's probably going to do most of what Netflix does already. But what this is also going to add to as well is this sort of live TV streaming thing as well with a contract. So you're just going to pay a month, it's going to be like Netflix, where you're just going to be able to drop it at any point, supposedly. I mean, that adds an extra feature to me. I have to admit, I sort of don't really watch broadcast telly so much anymore, so
live sports.
I use Game Pass for that.
Any live TV whatsoever.
I can live in a world without adverts on anything. No time I put up adverts is when I'm watching football or not even F1 because it's BBC. But
I haven't had a TV connected to an aerial for about 7 or 8 years now.
Right.
So
this isn't interest either you guys at all.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. Fine. Patrick, well, please save me here and give me some conversation.
Well, I think what's really interesting about it, as opposed to the Roku and other things like that, if I'm not mistaken, they're taking live TV, which the other products in the same category have not been managing to do. And that's especially interesting in the US for people who want to cut the cord.
Sure.
And they haven't had an option for that in the past. So that will allow people to, depending on the services and the channels that they do get for on the Sony View, it might allow for people to cut the cord completely and get rid of their cable subscription and just, you know, get it over the internet. And between that and Netflix and a couple of others, they might be able to. Obviously, the big thing is sports, live sports, sure, which is still difficult to get, but we'll see. Maybe that will start to bridge the gap, because it's still difficult in the US to do that.
Yeah.
I guess it's difficult everywhere, but sure, in France at least we have set-top boxes from every ISP. Mm-hmm. And we get TV like that as well, so in a sense we've already all cut the cord.
Right, okay. So those set-top boxes have hard drives in them as well, so you can do the kind of the recording and things like that too.
Right? Yeah, they all do.
Yeah, it's similar to us.
So the one thing I don't like about it's Netflix and things like that is certain TV shows are kind of like they're bought over to one sort of service. So even if you buy one, you might not get a TV show you want to watch because it belongs to someone else.
Yeah.
So you have to subscribe to nearly bloody everyone to watch all the shows you want to watch.
Yeah.
Which I find is like,
I think that's
one thing.
That's something the PlayStation View is not going to fix. But yes, it is a frustration with that.
Sorry, did we just say that we have something that America doesn't? Wow. In your face, future land.
Connected to this, well, depends. I would assume that this would come out with this
or related to this, is the Sony TV. So we talk about this when it first came out. So originally it was intended for the Chinese market. So this is effectively this tiny little box. I don't know really. It's kind of like about the size of kind of half an Apple TV, I guess. And this is intended to plug into a TV in your house if you already have a PlayStation 4 elsewhere.
I think it used to be called the PlayStation Vita.
I think it was Vita TV.
It's
originally called
Vita, that you can play on your TV with a DualShock.
It is. You have to buy the DualShock separately, but basically there it is, just behind you.
If you set it up on say if you've got PlayStation 4 downstairs,
yeah,
and you've got that upstairs on another TV, you can stream your PS4 to it.
You can, and you can also play.
Yeah, well, that works.
Okay. Well, exactly. You can also play games from your PS Vita, Vita games, PlayStation Portable games, PS1 games.
Yeah,
the PS TV service as well, so there'll be downloadable games as well. So, yeah, exactly. This was originally called the Vita TV. Originally came out as a micro console for the Chinese market as well, so you don't have to have a PlayStation 4.
In Japan, sorry.
You don't have to have a games console for this or anything like that. But you've got to imagine that at some point, if this actually starts to make some movement, the PlayStation View service would actually come into that as well. It's £84 though in the UK. It just seems a little bit expensive considering an Apple TV is kind of at the £80 mark. You're getting quite a bit more for that. Assuming you've got the PlayStation 4, because it's quite handy with PlayStation 4. Your Amazon Fire TV is more around the kind of £60 mark, and then when you go down the kind of Chromecast and the Roku and things like that, you're dropping significantly more. £120.84 if you want to put the controller as well. It just seems a little bit rich for me. If you can come down in price, I think, and with the promise of the PlayStation View service, it actually could be something that's quite interesting if you're a PlayStation 4 customer. I don't know, Chiz, you're the only one out of the three of us that has a PlayStation 4. What do you think?
Nah, I'm not interested, to be honest. I've already got a Vita as well, so I've got no need to put it in the big screen. For what it does, it doesn't shout out to me. And I don't know, it just kind of feels like they're introducing this in the same market as Apple TV and the Amazon TV.
Fire TV,
and what else there's.
Yeah.
And I don't think it can survive alongside them.
Yeah.
It's one of these Sony products, which I think we'll hear about for 1 or 2 years and then just fade away.
Yeah, possibly. Patrick, are you a next gen or current gen, or if you want to describe it, console gamer, or are you just purely Mac based or PC based?
I'm an everything gamer.
Everything, right?
I do own I don't know if you would qualify it as next gen, but it's a Wii U.
Okay.
I also have a PS4. I have a Vita. I have a powerful ish PC.
Sure.
I play on everything. Yep. I'm not sure the Vita TV is gonna do it though. The one use I could see is the streaming service that they have for PS4 owners. If you're if you have a family and you have a couple of TVs and you have a lot of people who like to watch TV on the big TV where the PS4 is connected, then you take your controller connected to the PS Vita TV thing, and you can play on the smaller TV in the room or sure. In the bedroom or something like that. That could work.
I think it would just work the same way as remote play does with the Vita. So if you're not, and I've not tried that myself to see how well that works. I think there's a bit of lag with it, but I'm sure it's manageable.
See, I've used that in the Wii U, the remote play
functionality, and actually,
the Wii U is much better. That works much faster.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Than the PlayStation remote plays, mm-hmm. not quite the same.
Yeah, but the Wii U has a very, very, very limited range.
Yeah.
So that's not the case of the Vita TV if you have it. I mean, I'm trying to find uses for it. I don't think it's gonna. Some people are gonna love it. Some people are gonna be really happy that they have it. I don't think enough people are going to love it that Sony is going to keep it around for a long time.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think if they were able to
add kind of Netflix or iPlayer or some kind of support for that kind of thing, it might make a little bit of a difference, maybe. Certainly, if you were on the fence and you had a PlayStation 4, having Netflix out there might actually push you over the edge. As we mentioned in the opening, it was BlizzCon this week, or rather last week, and with it came a few announcements. I'm going to kind of just cover very, very high level a couple of the other announcements. So the only real piece of news that came out of any Warcraft thing was the Warcraft movie. There was no mention of expansion packs, really, because Warlords of Draenor was actually already coming out this week. Hearthstone will be getting its first expansion as well. It's going to be mainly around goblins and gnomes. 160 cards extra on the Hearthstone.
120, over 120.
Over 120. And StarCraft 2's next expansion, Legacy of the Void trailer was announced as well. No news about Diablo. I think everybody's kind of doubling down on the Reaper of the Souls expansion. There wasn't any kind of new things came out there. I suppose it's too early for Diablo 4 or anything like that at this stage. The kind of the big news that probably got all the headlines was Overwatch. I love the cinematic trailer. It's very Pixar-like. It's the first new franchise that Blizzard has entered into for over 17 years.
17 years?
17 years, yeah. First-person shooter. 12 different characters that you can play. They range from kind of
goodies and baddies, as you would expect, with all the different abilities and everything like that. And sign-ups for the beta are live just now. If you can go to battle.net/Overwatch/EN.
It reminded me of Team Fortress very much. It seems very much inspired by that, or...
It does sort of feel like that. It's the same sort of cartoony sort of theme.
Sort of class-based, yeah. I don't know if it's...
It attracts me more than Team Fortress ever did.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just... I don't know if I like the graphics.
You're going to be the gorilla first, aren't you?
Probably, yeah, that just that shouting out to me has been something for some.
I do kind of like apes.
And, you know, and then it's actually... You'd have a legitimate reason for actually ape fists in your keyboard.
No, that's true.
It's going to be out in 2015. If you sign up for the beta just now, there's absolutely no guarantee that you'll get into the game in the beta period, but you can certainly sign up. I've signed up. I look forward to having a shot of this. It certainly looks very, very interesting.
Everything that we've kind of seen so far is that if you go on over to battle.net/Overwatch, you'll see the cinematic trailer, the gameplay trailer, and a variety of other videos for all the different characters, all the 12 characters that I mentioned as well.
Is it DC only, or is it
PC
and Mac only at the moment, or is it available
on anything else? I'm not sure. Patrick, could you?
So I don't think they've announced platforms. Definitely PC. It was running on a PC.
Sure.
And Blizzard always puts out the games that they put out on PC on Mac, so I would be, you know, very surprised if it wasn't Mac as well. Mm-hmm. But having played it, it seems... It would surprise me as well if it didn't come out on consoles. It's super, super simple controls that have a lot of depth. But the simplicity of the controls make it a really good candidate for consoles. That would be surprising. And there's certainly some similarities on the graphical side with Team Fortress. It's basically comic-y type of graphics. And I think there have been more than one games. I mean, Team Fortress is the most famous one. But there was a Medal of Honor game that was a little bit like that, or a Battlefield. I can't remember. There was another one.
Yeah, there was. It was Battlefield. Did like was it World War II or Vietnam? Sort of small version can't like remember. That. Yeah.
There was one, but I mean, yeah, it looks a little bit like Team Fortress. What really sets it apart, though, is how very, very different the heroes are. Mm. You have like 12 different heroes that were introduced in the alpha build, and they hinted at the fact that there would be a lot more coming in the future.
Yeah, because like it's Team Fortress, you've got like it's four or five classes on each side, and that's it. Well, on this one you've got one character, and it's unique.
Yeah, so Team Fortress, you have nine different classes, maybe seven. Okay, so a little bit less, but even beyond that, what I keep saying when I'm doing podcasts on that game is that Team Fortress and other games like it feel like they have very diverse classes in the game, and they certainly do. But when you start playing Overwatch, the level of difference between each class is so wide, they play so differently, that the classes in other FPSs seem to be a lot more similar than they seemed before. There are really like classes that play, or heroes that play, as differently as fighters, you know, characters would play in a fighting game. That's the reference I keep going to.
All right.
It feels like a completely different type of gameplay. One of the characters I really liked is the one that they've put in, you know, on the sort of as the iconic character for the game. It's a girl called Tracer. And by the way, really cool that what they said about, you know, harassment and female representation, both in the opening ceremony and Chris Metzen during the interviews. They were really like a strong voice for that, and I thought that was awesome. But anyway, Tracer, plays in a really peculiar way. That she has three short-range teleports that she can use a lot. Like, each one of them has maybe a five-second cooldown, and she teleports like 10 meters in front of her. And then she has another ability that has maybe a 15-second cooldown that is a sort of rewind. I think it's called recall. So you rewind back to the place you were 3 seconds ago with cool, you know, back in time animation. And that already creates a really compelling gameplay. She's super fast and she zips around everywhere. And then she comes back and she has an ultimate that charges as she does damage and gets damaged. That is a really powerful bomb that has a 3 second delay timer. So her gameplay becomes super mobile. And you just jump around everywhere, get recalled, and blow everything up. And it's the type of gameplay that, honestly, I'm not the biggest FPS gamer ever. I've played, you know, a few, and I've enjoyed them. But I've never played anything like this in an FPS. And the other characters are also really, really different in the way that they play. Really simple to, you know, that Blizzard mantra, easy to learn, difficult to master. So easy to get the hang of it. But then the depth of gameplay sinks in after, you know, a few and then a lot of games. And that's the most compelling part for me. I'm really looking forward to it. But again, you know, I'm an ex-Blizzard employee, so either, you know, I'm a fanboy if you want. But I think it's going to be really interesting for people who are not into FPSs from the get-go, because there's no, like, emphasis on kills and deathmatch and kill streaks and stuff like that. And you also have classes that are geared toward new players that do support and that don't really need to focus on aiming at heads and shooting them. So yeah, it's super compelling. I really liked what I saw. Of course, still very early. We'll have to see what it becomes in a few months. But I'm excited.
It sounds it sounds like there's a lot more to it than I thought, and it sounds the sort of game where balancing is going to be pretty tricky. And I can imagine a lot of people, maybe when it first comes out, kind of complaining about the balance, and there'll be like a period of time where they'll have to tweak a lot of things to actually fall in line. But it sounds really promising, though.
There's definitely an issue of balance. I mean, in the sense that it needs to be very well done, very balanced. But there are a couple of things that mitigate it. Just as a preamble, there was one character at the show that was, at least for the people who were trying it then, and that was, you know, very short session, so maybe there were techniques to counter it. But the character called Bastion, which is a robot that turns into a turret. A lot of people would be in turret mode, and it has a shield that protects it, and they would have like 2-3 turrets, and they would destroy everyone else. So I think there's some work on balance there. Yeah. But I mean, it's Blizzard. You know, Blizzard has StarCraft 1 and 2 experience for balance. They have Hearthstone, which is very balanced. And they also have in-game mechanics that help with balance. So, for example, you can change characters anytime you die. So you're not locked to one hero once you selected it for the match. So if you see that you need a certain type of character to overcome the strategy of your opponents, you can just go in and change it and just, you know, wreck faces. Yeah. So obviously you shouldn't have one character that's obviously a lot better than every other character, but I think Blizzard can be trusted to achieve that. Hopefully, we'll see. But there are also things they can do in game to improve balance inherently to the game.
Yeah,
I think it looks really enjoyable. And I'm not
an FPS fan, but it sounds like it has enough depth to kind of bring me in on that.
It sounds like a game where you do like you have to work together with your teammates. And that's one thing it's Blizzard's very good at, is getting people to work together.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything that they've shown so far is all very kind of battles and things like that. So obviously it's got a huge esports hook, your budget that they're going for there. Presumably there's a storyline as well that you're having to kind of travel through and kind of a single person game. Did you know that, Patrick, or is that kind of information not been released yet?
No, I think it really seemed like there's no single player component at all, which is kind of a shame. I would have loved to have that to go through as well. I'm more of a single player person than a multiplayer person, but they are certainly focusing on the multiplayer team, as you were saying, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a team game, and the strategy is super important. And on the storytelling side, it seemed like it was also very important as well. And they didn't announce anything, but Chris Metzen, who's the lore guru at Blizzard, kept hinting at the fact that there was a lot planned.
Right.
You know, at the fact that they wanted to get the lore and the story really fleshed out so that when you were playing the game, it mattered and you were seeing all of those small references to this and that on that stage and that thing that you saw and whatever is going to come out. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there were comics and animated shorts and maybe even a TV animated series or, you know, that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me. But they really emphasize the fact that they wanted the game to be the game and to be gameplay was the most important thing. So that's why, for example, you can have multiple same, you know, you can have the same hero multiple times in a team, and they don't have like set teams with that these heroes go in this team and that hero these heroes go in that team, but they want to develop the story for sure on you know, outside of the game. Whether or not they'll manage to do it, we don't know, but it seemed like they really wanted to do that and that they had really big plans. So we'll see. It's also a very compelling world. The intro trailer alone is kind of gets you hyped for what that world can be. So yeah, I think we'll see things, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it looks very interesting. The cinematic trailer, certainly with the two little kids in it, certainly kind of suggested to me that there was going to be something else there. And I immediately went to a single person game,
like as a single person storyline. Well, actually, I never even thought about that. There's a lot of kind of animated series and things like that. They could potentially be pulling on those. Storyline with the kids there.
It was Blizzard up until a few weeks ago. Was there anything that they showed that you're surprised they didn't show or did show without being sued?
No, there wasn't really anything surprising. I mean, I knew everything that was going to be announced, and I'm super happy that I can finally talk about it because it's announced. But I hadn't played Overwatch. I hadn't seen a lot about Overwatch at all. So that was kind of a surprise. I took it as an almost as an outside player.
Okay.
So I didn't really know what to expect. I was a little bit anxious. And I knew it was an FPS and I knew a few things, but I was really anxious to play it and figure out if I would like it. And yeah, so I was very happy that I did like it. And that was a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Very good. It certainly looks interesting.
So we'll keep an eye out for that one. And the last thing just in the news before we get into what we've been playing this week is, Chiz, you wanted to talk about this goat in the simulator.
I was just going to mention it. I remember when the first time and then now added an MMO.
I love how one of the classes
is just microwave. And it's a microwave with legs.
Well, at least they've added legs, I suppose. We could kind of take that from it. So, yes, well, that's a nice way to end.
There it is.
Oh, yeah, we see it. Unfortunately, I didn't have that on this stream.
Though. No, I just realized that. I'm sorry, we're going to get there. So we're just going to move straight on to the preview section, Sam. I'm going to throw it straight to you first because you didn't hear anything.
Obviously, Overwatch.
Cheers, what are you
in your face, Wheatley?
I think I've mentioned before, I don't know if I mentioned the preview, but it's been leaked, whether leaked or not, on purpose, of the new It's Game of Thrones game by Telltale Games, mm-hmm. which I'm a fan of the TV series, and I've really liked the past few games that these guys have done, and so I'm really looking forward to this. And I wasn't actually sure they're actually if they were going to feature the characters from the TV series, but they are, and they're actually like
are we definitely sure that Peter Dinklage's face, but done in a cel-shaded sort of Telltale fashion, is that 100% because what? I know that stuff's been leaked. Some photos have been leaked, or supposedly some photos have been leaked.
Oh, they look legit.
They looked fairly legit, but I didn't know if Telltale had actually come out and confirmed that.
No, they probably haven't confirmed them, but I would say they look pretty legit to me. I think it's out before the end of the year as well, so it's not far away, and it's six episodes long, which is an episode more than most of it's Telltale's games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set between season 3 and 5, I think. Okay. Or so it goes over season 4. So if you've not watched the TV series, you're probably best watching that before playing the game.
Or read the books, it might have spoiled stuff.
Yeah, I've gotten bored of the TV series. I'm halfway through season three and I've gotten bored.
Yeah, I heard they kind of phased out the tits and ass. So I thought you might get bored after a while.
Oh dear. Okay. This is actually arriving today.
Just laugh, Lena.
I did. We've got an ad. Sorry, apologies. I'm accidentally playing an ad from YouTube. I'm looking forward to Grand Theft Auto 5. It's supposed to arrive today. Chiz has already got his copy. And he has already installed it, I believe, in fact.
Yep.
So, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 today. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be really good. I'm looking forward to getting back in the online game. I really enjoyed playing Grand Theft Auto Online, but the amount of folk online that I knew kind of drifted off quite a bit over time. So hopefully everyone is also from the finance, I played it, playing it in first person view does kind of feel like you're playing a new game again.
It's quite a bit more traffic and things like that as well. Yeah, as like so far, graphically looks fantastic, and I'm really enjoying playing it in first person view, and can't wait to get a hooker in the car and see what happens.
Deary me. Right, okay. Grand Theft Auto 5. I think we're going to try and do a kind of a playthrough of that, one of our playthrough videos that we've only managed to do one of so far since we started.
See if we can do it with you streaming what you're doing, but playing the rest of us online.
We'll see if we can get that sorted out. So we're going to try and do that at some point soon. It was quite interesting, I look forward to just hearing about that
and not being involved in any fashion.
As soon as you found the 360 copy, we've abandoned
you've
it.
Ditched me already.
I've moved on.
It's kind of like real life. No, Sam, we're not doing that pub anymore.
As we walk to the next pub, we kick you in the knee.
Sam, what have you been playing this week?
That was a great view of...
I know.
Why did you even put the show notes up there?
I know.
What have I been playing this week? I've been playing, as usual, more Rome. But also, I've finally been playing a bit of Shadow of Mordor as well.
Oh, okay. You got hold of that. Are you playing that on PC?
PC, yeah.
Okay. How are you finding it?
Do you know what? Initially, I think it's got quite a steep learning curve to it. It just kind of chucks you in at the deeper. In fact, Bede sent me a rather funny description of it today, if I can find it. Yeah, he bought it last night.
Good on him.
Okay, yeah, nice to have that prepared, Sam. Good.
I've got it here. So Bede's description of the starting of it is... Well, you may be called upon for advice. So I did the intro, didn't get a lot of it. And then I'm in a tower, and sometimes I'm a ghost. Sometimes I'm talking to the ghost. Then the ghost says, jump off. Here's a bow. You can interrogate people, find the slaver, but also the side missions. And then I'm just in Mordor going, what the bleep? So I jump a ledge and get killed in one hit by a troll. And then the really disappointing thing about that is it wasn't even a troll.
What was it?
It was, I can't even remember what they're called. It begins with a G or something, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The huge things.
A Graug or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I think we should have like a Bead Reviews section.
Yeah. But it
just gives us some incoherent rambling.
He's right. You start off, your family kind of die in a weirdy kind of way. Then you're dead, but there's a ghost who is also sometimes you, but sometimes he's not.
Explains it later in the game. But yeah,
it's not
a great plot, but enjoy it. The best bit about it is basically messing with the orc hierarchy.
Yeah, well,
the random orcs are far more engaging than any of the actual main characters.
It's a genius system.
Yeah, it is.
The nemesis system is. I think everyone's been saying it for weeks now, but it's the kind of transformative gameplay element that I think everyone is going to start using in the future.
Yeah.
It's like Batman's, you know, combat mechanic, which is beautiful, and the Assassin's Creed open world type map, which works really well. Both are good in that game. And then you have that nemesis system, which takes it over the top. It's just really, really engaging. And it gives a life to the nameless, you know, army that you're fighting, which has been missing. From
it's your
every
own personal battles
game.
As well, because you actually have like, in my game, there was two orcs which were a pain in the ass in my game, but they were my two orcs. No one else had these orcs that were basically my. They, as I said, because of the nemesis system, these pains in the ass orcs hunted me down every time and killed me.
I really found I was holding grudges, particularly against certain. I was like, "You are going down, boy! I'm going to take you down."
I had a great moment when there was a war chief called it was Douche, and whenever
you stammered on Douche.
Yep,
stammered really?
On that, yeah.
Wow.
Whenever a chieftain appears on the battlefield, all the other orcs start chanting his name. So it was just Douche, Douche, Douche.
I quite enjoyed the fact as well that on my game last night, or the night before possibly, I killed someone in a vendetta kill that had killed you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite nice.
So
like that.
Popped up because we're friends
random,
on Steam.
Yeah, mine had been random people because at that time no one else had the game on Steam.
But it was popping up. It was like Vendetta, this guy.
What was his name?
I can't even remember.
Hams again, tell me name because I better bloody recognise
so it. So I presume that doesn't take him out in your game. More's the pity. But
that would be quite cool if you could both kind of attack them.
He might still exist or have already got revenge, but he's still, because he's killed me, he passes on to the next game.
I really enjoyed that little element. I was like, I took someone down that Cheers didn't. And he's so much better than I am at almost every type of gaming.
You get weird ones. I love how they've got it hates and fears. If it's a hate, it makes them stronger. If it's a fear, they're terrified. One of them was he feared you in the game. So he just had to approach him and he crap himself and run away. And it was just like the most useless. You could take him down so easily, as long as you caught up with him. But every time you met him, he just ran away.
Well, he's the one that you want to try and promote and force onto your side, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've been playing this week Watch Dogs. I tried it again, so I think I mentioned in the last show that I've been playing this.
5 minutes.
Yeah, well, no, I played about an hour the first time, and that's why I only just mentioned it briefly in the last show. I played another couple of hours. I just can't get into the game. I really can't. I've tried my best. There's something that's just not speaking to me in this game at all, and I can't. No, I've turned the volume down because it was when we're switching
on the games.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
What's the subtitle?
I don't know what it is about this game. It's exactly the genre that I really like. It's sandbox. It's moving around.
It feels so soulless, doesn't it?
I've got absolutely no empathy for the character. There's just, I don't know. I really wanted to like this game, and I really pushed myself.
It's a really great game, but the whole thing just feels a bit sterile. It's just, I don't know, it's got some neat ideas, like the whole idea you can hack things and interfere with it was a really cool idea.
And
it works, the gameplay, certain elements where the gameplay all comes together, I think it is good. But there's too many other elements where they've done the usual, it's Ubisoft sort of map, And it's, and we're getting to a point now that, right, you need to change it. You're just doing this, you're just spreading your same ideas across all your games now, and it's starting to get stale.
Yeah, yeah, I really wanted to like it, but I didn't. And frankly, it was taking time away from Diablo 3 for me, so I had to go back to that.
You suck up. Little kiss ass.
No, well, actually, I have to admit it's something.
No, I...
come back again and make us look bad.
I learned about Diablo a couple of months ago. Probably 6 weeks ago, in fact, wasn't it?
Yeah,
something like that. I'm just completely engrossed in it now. I can't believe I've never picked up this game.
I have to say, because I adored, and I did. I was, knowing that you were coming on today, I was racking my brain of games that Blizzard have done that I really enjoyed. And I really enjoyed, I'm not into the massive online games, but I really enjoyed all of the Warcraft original strategy games. They were so much fun and just so funny and great for the time. And then the first two Diablos I adored. They're just groundbreaking, you know, they're classic. But the third one, I have to say, and it's maybe because I'm a Yorkshireman and I'm tight as anything, but I have to say the price is just a little bit too much for me to want to do it. And I don't know.
In what? Diablo 3?
Yeah.
Well, so I got mine from CD Keys for £20, I think it was.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's better than I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Is it a game that's always been really high... high price for some reason?
Yeah, it's traditionally it's like well, when it first came out, was it Patrick's probably gonna beat the hell out of me for saying something wrong. Was it not like nigh on £40?
I would likely be somewhere about that.
And yeah, and do you know what, for a PC, that's why I like PC.
Yeah,
because it's cheap.
Yeah, you can get it a bit cheaper.
So
the most I paid for a PC game in the past couple of years has been, the most is been about £25.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm sure
there will be time when it will be a little bit cheaper. You can also get it on PS4 or Xbox One. I'm sure, you know, you get both bundled. The game and the expansion.
I did not even know it was out on PS4 and
it's just
Xbox
the,
One.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the expansion that's out on PS4 and Xbox One, though, isn't it? It's not the original game. Well, it's part of the original game, Reaper of Souls.
Yeah, it's basically on PS4 and Xbox One, it's called the Ultimate Evil Edition. Mm. And you can get basically that one box that has both in one thing. I know because I worked on that a lot. But
really,
I thought
you were in the accounts department.
Sorry, come again.
It doesn't matter.
He said he thought you were in the accounts department. It was.
I understand. I never got into Diablo 1 or 2 back then, and I really did not expect to like Diablo 3. But for some reason, it grabbed me completely, and I played. Well, I guess by Diablo standards, it's not a lot, but maybe 120 hours of Diablo, maybe 200 even. I played my barbarian and my wizard like constantly. But then when Reaper of Souls came out, it made the game so much better, even then, because I was playing it when it was Diablo 3 and I recognized its issues. But with Reaper of Souls, and again, I'm sorry, I'm a, you know, Blizzard fanboy, call it whatever you want, but it makes the game so much better and so great. If you've ever liked any Diablo or hack and slash game, do yourself a favor and give it a try. It's a really great game at this stage. And the Auction House had worked its way into the game in a way that made it not a lot less fun, because you would get the best items in the game by going to the auction house instead of playing. And they've remedied this completely. Well, I mean, I guess, Paul, maybe you should talk about it since you've been playing it so much.
I think I'm only level 21, I think, currently. So, I mean, I'm not hugely into it.
Yeah, let's go back to Patrick. Nothing. He actually knows what he's on about.
I know. I'm kind of early on. What I'm loving about it, actually, is my little girl, who's not that little, just in case you're worried that I'm letting her play Diablo 3. She's 11, but still possibly borderline as to whether she should be playing Diablo 3 or not.
Terrible, terrible parent.
Well, she is absolutely adoring it. And it's quite nice because we've got, I picked up two copies and the two of us sit side by side and sit and do missions together. And I think I'm really enjoying it from that perspective as well. It's something that, you know, like if we were to kind of sit down and play, I would never let her play Grand Theft Auto 5 or she wouldn't be interested in Battlefield. But it's a multiplayer game that the two of us can sit together and we can work through the missions and we can work together on it. And I'm really enjoying that perspective of it. But it's just a superb game and it's really lovely to look at as well. One thing maybe it's because I kind of prefer, I don't prefer more linear games. I don't mean it like that, but sometimes there's points where I'm kind of going down one direction and realizing that I don't know what I haven't actually explored yet.
Yeah.
And
I get annoyed how you leave an area and kind of go, did I check everything in that area? And I went, then you look around and spend ages looking around this one area. It's like an OCD thing. You can't leave until you've checked everything.
And the problem is if you have to stop playing the game halfway through, or certainly maybe a glitch for mine, but it seems odd to me, but if you stop playing the game halfway through and you kind of go away and do something else, pick a cup of tea or something like that and close the game down, then you open it back up again, the areas that you've sort of explored are not still explored, if you know what I mean. You still have to kind of clear that mist, for want of a better phrase, that you kind of clear as you walk through it, which I'd kind of like. If you've already cleared that area, then
it stays clear.
Leave it clear, and then I can...
Yeah.
Fog of War, exactly. That's a good way of describing it. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, that's the thing, because for Diablo, everything is randomized. So a lot of the areas that you'll explore will stay, you know, will re-randomize next time you play, so that, you know, that's part of the game. It stays, I guess, fresh. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of pointless now, because at end game you do a lot of, well, there are a lot of bounties at end game. So even the areas that you've already explored are a little bit different every time. You're never quite sure how the layout is going to be. So that's part of the the appeal of the game.
Yeah, no, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So I've kind of went back to that because Watch Dogs just wasn't doing it for me. Chiz, you've been playing Evolve Big Alpha of late.
Yeah, well, it's the Evolve Beta thing, which they called Big Alpha. Well, I say Beta, must be an Alpha.
Well, maybe it's just second.
It was me and your brother had a quick shot of it when they... Well, it was Russell Musk got a code one day and he told me about it, and like he asked if I had it, and I didn't, and I didn't realise the beta was, or alpha had appeared, so I went online and managed to get one, so we played a bit of it, and yeah, really enjoyed it. It's had one game as the beast, as the monster, and managed to win, which I've no idea how, because I was nearly dead about 2 minutes into the game, because basically as the monster you have to basically get as much sort of distance between you and the hunters at the start, because you're far too weak to take them all on, and then you have to eat random things, or even it's the hunters themselves to actually evolve to stage 2 or stage 3 is the most. And once you're at stage 3, you're at a state where you can probably take them on all four hunters, it's head on, but they can still take you down if they're good and they work together, but their main element is to take you down before you get to stage 3. And even if you get to stage 3, you don't have to kill all the hunters. You've got a mission basically to destroy something on the level as a monster. If you do that, you win the game.
Okay.
And my first and only shot as a monster, I somehow managed to do that. It's more probably to do with I was playing against four people who had first time they had played the game as well.
Yeah.
And played as the hunters with Russell a couple of times, and went as the trapper, which had it was Daisy, which is like a mutant dog thing which hunts its monster down. But the monster is actually surprisingly easy to track down, because wherever it goes, it leaves kind of glowing footprints that you can see, which I don't know, they might need to change that, because I found it a little bit too easy to track its monster down. And
well, that's the point of the alpha.
It's going to test all these things.
So it's great.
So I have a question about Evolve.
Sure.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I'm a huge Left 4 Dead fan. Oh, yeah. I think it's one of the best games of the past 15 years. So I'm really hoping that Evolve is as cool. I've heard a couple of people, though, say that the games really could be summarized to... Either you find the monster and you manage to kill it before it reaches, you know, stage 2, and at that point you've won, or the monster reaches stage 3 And at that point, the monster has won. And the games are really binary like that. Is that your experience?
Or? Yeah, for my experience, it might be a case of everyone learn the controls. I think even if, I would say, if you're fighting a four-man, I can't remember if it's if Hunters are four or five-man team. I think they're just four.
Four.
Yeah.
It's four, yeah.
And if you're fighting against a team of players who are all actually, like, say, they're friends and they're part of a team and working together and they know how to play the game, I don't think it matters what stage a monster's at. It's going to be... if you're at stage three, it might be still... It'll be... There's still a chance of the Hunters winning that, I think. But, yeah, if you're the monster stage three and you're playing against folk who are new to the game and not really working together, then more than likely, as a monster, you should win. But it kind of forces... So, like... But even if you're new to the game as a Hunter, the sooner you get after the monster, the sooner you win. But if they get to stage three, basically, if you're not a good team working together, the monster will probably win, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then again, you could say if they're a good team working together, then it's more likely the monster will even get to stage three to make it even.
That sounds like this kind of ups and downs to it.
Yeah, that's why I think it should be a little bit harder for the Hunters to track the monster, especially at the start of the game. It seems to be a bit too, as soon as the Hunters drop in, it's easy to see what direction the monsters went straight away. And when I first saw a preview of the game, they kind of said, if you see that they had it first anyway, when you see a flock of birds flying from a tree, it usually means that the monster is across that way. Now, when that happens, it actually comes a massive indication on your screen saying, oh, a flock of birds has been stirred, monster that way. Oh.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's like, get rid of that. The player should be looking around and trying to spot things themselves in the actual environment. Mm-hmm. And only Daisy should be able to see that only one character, the trapper or whoever it is, or the hunter guy with the dog or whoever, can see the actual footprints, and even then can maybe only see the footprints when they've been when the monster's passed through there.
Led.
yeah
sure,
but you know, it was an alpha, so hopefully they'll take that and take things on board from more on like
it,
me
it sounds like something that could be even I know we were saying things should be released finished state earlier on, but that sounds like balance and things like that could be gradually and slightly tweaked.
Yeah, it's
I think that's different from what we were saying before, though.
Yeah. But why there's been an alpha, and it's one of those games where maybe the balance isn't quite there, but it's the same with Titanfall when it's been balanced since it came out, but it was still a fun game when it came out. But as it went on, they've just improved it and balanced it more and more. Yeah. And the same will happen Evolve.
For any game that is competitive, or not even competitive, but multiplayer, and that is online, it's never going to be fully 100% balanced. No. I mean, the thing about balance is the players find ways of countering it, and they find strategies that work better, and so the developers have to react to that constantly and change a little bit of the game here and there. It's the same for every single competitive game and online game, and I don't expect, especially for this one, where one versus four is so such a delicate thing to get right. I heard about the thing with the flock of birds that take off that would indicate the monster is over there as well. And that was the case a few months ago. I'm sure the reason they're now indicating that thing happened on your minimap or whatever is because players were just not getting it. And the monster was hiding too well, and the hunters were just running around for a really long time trying to find it.
Yeah.
So that's all part of the process.
Unless it shows where the birds are for the first time you play it, or the first wee while you play it, and then it takes that away to tell you that, as it says, right, these are the things you should be watching out for. Now we're going to take all these things away because you've been
in a kind of tutorial
we've taught you. Now get your ass out there.
Yeah.
Is that what's the games? There's always some guy somewhere will find a strategy or a tactic that it's a game developers hadn't even thought of.
Sure.
And he'll break the game and then go, bastard.
Yeah. I mean, the with Batman, so like the Arkham City and the Arkham Asylum, you got like a little message over the enemy's head when he was about to attack you. But that was on kind of the lower difficulty setting, so when you moved up the difficulty setting, you were able to disable that, so it might be something like that. When you move the difficulty setting.
Well, it's an online game which people, so there won't be a difficulty setting.
surely you would still have some kind of HUD that you could switch that functionality on.
No, but then that gives folk advantages and a disadvantage. Why would you purposely switch it off when other players are using it against you?
Yeah, okay.
It would have to be there or off for
sport, everyone. Gentlemanly. Simply not cricket. I do it.
Patrick, what have you been playing recently?
I have been playing, surprise, Warlords of Draenor, the World of Warcraft expansion that came out last week. I mean, I've been, even before I worked at Blizzard, I've been a really strong fan of Blizzard, of Blizzard games. I first started my career in podcasting with World of Warcraft games, and I've been playing ever since. And this one is honestly really good. Again, I'm sorry, I just think Blizzard games are good, but I mean, this one really is. And
you work there, so you'll give them for free, if that helps.
I'm sorry?
Well, it's because you work there, so you got free games. So.
Yes, that's exactly the reason.
You're not going to complain.
No, I mean, it's a lot of people have been saying it, and there have been a lot of issues at launch, as we were discussing earlier, which, by the way, we just got a message from J. Allen Brack on the WoW forums. Everyone's going to get 5 days worth of free time, apparently, free game time. So I think it speaks to what we were talking about earlier. How do you mitigate for these issues? And I think, you know, 5 days when you've had 2 to 3 days of issues, I think that's probably the best thing they can do. It, you know, after having fixed the game, obviously. Sure. But anyway, so I've been playing it. It's really great. You get the introductory experience, which is really well crafted. I think the narration, Warcraft has always been and is obviously always going to be about, you know, quests to go kill stuff with your abilities. That's all it is at its core. But the way they dress it up and the way they make it engaging in this expansion, especially,
the
is really
stuff
compelling.
Really impressive.
Sorry?
It's our CG stuff that they show, like the how the advertiser games is really impressive.
No, that for sure. But I mean, even in the game itself, the first maybe hour of game in the new expansion is you go through reconquering, like you go through the dark portal and have to defeat the preparations that the enemies, I'm not going to go into too much details, but are making to invade the world of Azeroth where you are now. And you sabotage the things and then you run through the jungle because the portal has closed and you're alone in there with a bunch of other people and you have to establish a base and you fight all of the enemies, the bosses. You sort of meet them in that experience and then you finally get out of it and establish your base. And one of the main features of the expansion is I feel like I'm making a marketing speech. I'm really sorry. That's the way I actually feel. But so you establish your garrison, which is basically your base on the world of Draenor, which, you know, the Warlords of Draenor are from. And it really feels like you're the commander. Like in every other expansion for WoW, and I guess many other MMOs, you've always... it's been designed to make you feel like you're the guy, right? You're the hero. You're the one that's going to save us. And of course, everyone else is also that guy or girl. And in this one, since you have this base, this garrison that you build up with different buildings and like kind of like you do in a Warcraft, the old Warcraft RTSs, a little bit. It's not exactly that, of course, but everyone calls you commander and you're here saying we have to build this and we have to do that. And it feels very much like you're at the center of the story. And, you know, it hasn't happened to me in a while in WoW, but I don't really even want to go do the dungeons all that much because I'm having a lot of fun questing and just following what the game is telling me to do. Right. So, yeah, it's a really great game. And I think it's the best... that might sound even more marketing-y, but I also want to say it anyway. It's the best time to get back in WoW because with the expansion, first of all, you only have to get this one expansion if you've ever had the game before. So if you've ever played the game before, if you've had a license, you have all of the previous expansions included in your license. So you can just reactivate and, you play all of the expansions up to Mists of Pandaria, the previous one. And if you buy this one, the Warlords of Draenor, you get a level 90 character boost. So you get to start with this new thing from the get-go.
Okay. You don't have say,
to level everything back to the new content. So that's super clever on Blizzard's part. I mean, talk about getting people back in. It's like the best way they could do it. I don't know how many people are going to be interested in getting back in, but if you are, it's super easy to do so.
So 90 is the new level one.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you can go and do level 1 to 90 stuff as well if you want to. But it's everyone's sort of raised to the new stuff, to the latest expansion, which makes sense, right? I mean, when you hear about it, you're excited and you want to get back in. You don't want to be at level 67 and, you know, have to level through 25 levels of whatever old thing. You want to get the new thing. And now you can, so...
Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Have
you, you guys played the top deck? No.
I did it for like a year, 2 years. I had a few characters, but I ended up just not having the time to pump into it to make it worthwhile.
When was this?
Quite a while ago now. I think it might have been like the first or second expansion was coming out
or had come out at the time. But what interests me is on this one, and you're right, it has been clever in that you can just jump into this expansion and start and have access to everything that's come beforehand. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot easier as well. You really don't have to dedicate a lot of time to it if you don't want to. I mean, obviously, if you want to, it's there. But if you don't want to, you don't have to dedicate a lot of time to it. You have group finder tools and raid finder tools, and this garrison allows you to do your professions almost. Well, not really, but it helps you do the professions alone. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, the other thing that kind of ruins it slightly for me is that I'm antisocial and have no people skills in any kind of fashion. So
yeah, I know
that kind of ruins raids a little bit.
That's why I thought it was perfect for the podcast.
Well, wow, what is that tosser doing back?
For raids, you have raid finder tools now that allow you to group with random people who are also who don't have a set group. And you can go in and just experience that high level content with people who are not necessarily, you don't have to talk to them, and that's really enjoyable if you're into
so there's an antisocial section of World of Warcraft.
I'm generally on the mute and block list. Yeah.
we're just silent and angry, leave us alone.
Just dancing in a moshing type fashion in the corner.
This podcast
and all the others on the British Day Network are brought to you by the wonderful people of our UK too. They are superb and they supported the British Day Network 5 years now and will support for many more moons to come. If you head over to the British Day Network and click on the sponsors link, you will see a whole bunch of voucher codes and things like that that give you money off domain names, VPN, VPS and everything like that. So if you want a website and you want it hosted somewhere that's really good, great customer support, and please use UK too and come through our website to pick up all of the virtual codes and things like that. The other thing I just want to mention is our Patreon fund. Thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon. It's managed to get us to where we are with the Northern Studio and the Southern Studio. Northern Studio, still got a few more things we could do with some more lights in here. I think you'll notice that myself and Shiz are a little bit see-through tonight. I think it's just that's a lighting issue and Shiz doesn't care.
I'm pretty sure if we just spend money on bags for our head,
that'll solve the problem. We appreciate absolutely everything that you've given us through Patreon. We absolutely love it. So if you head over to patreon.com and search for British Tech Network on there, or if you head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com and click on the sports link, there's a link there to take us through to Patreon. So thank you very much for your support there. The other thing we just need to mention is the Northern Bash. The Northern Bash is on the 6th of December. tickets are already on sale. If you head on over to thebritishdaynetwork.com and click on the banner there, you'll be able to buy tickets for to come along to Northern Bash. We're having a bit of gaming. We're going to have a PlayStation 4, an Xbox One, possibly a Wii U, some old retro consoles as well, possibly even getting some really old stuff like just kind of a Pong game coming along as well. We've got SNES and the Mega Drive, and we'll just be playing Halo, a little bit of Mario Kart U, and all sorts of other stuff.
Talking about the arcade machine.
No, I'm talking about a machine that Ewan's bring.
Chris apparently is going to try and...
Yeah, so we've got an arcade machine as well. An arcade machine comes as well.
If you're lucky, Sam lately touches the nipple.
Yeah. Which is not his chase, but he keeps calling it third level. I'm pretty dubious.
So if you want to come over to that, please head on to thebritishdaynetwork.com and click on the banner, and you can buy a ticket from that there. And we'd love to see you. It's on the 6th of December, 3 p.m. till 12 a.m. And it's just £5 a ticket. Just come along, just to basically cover the hire of the hall, and we'll maybe get ourselves a curry later.
Hang on. Did you say 3 p.m. till when?
12 a.m.
I thought you said
11 a.m.
No,
what? Right through the night, keep going.
I'm not hanging around for that.
All that leaves me to do is just to thank you, Patrick, very much for joining us.
It was a pleasure having you on the show.
It was actually good having somebody on the podcast who knows what they're talking
about. Yeah. Where can people find you, Patrick?
I guess not Patrick on Twitter is the first place you should go. It's, you know, easy to remember. It's not Patrick. and the other place is frenchspin.com, where you will find the shows I do in English. And one of them, as you said earlier, is Pixels, which is a show about video games. And you'll find a couple of episodes there on frenchspin.com. So you can do that.
Are they vlogs or are they podcasts, or do you do video as well? Or
it's audio podcast. Yay. Because I'm lazy.
I'm gonna download.
It's easier to do.
Cool.
Significantly easier.
Doing video is hell, and it's really frustrating.
I don't even do anything.
And I'm also kind of worried that people would actually want to see us. It's just like, why?
I would highly recommend Pixels as well. If you actually want to hear a show that talks fact and isn't just three guys taking a bit of each other for an hour, also listen to our show. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
so thank you very much, Patrick. And of course,
thank you very much, Sam and Chiz.
You guys for having me.
Yeah, no worries.
It was good. Cheers, thanks.
And thank you, Sam and Chiz, for turning up on time, which is new.
Yep. Well, one of us usually does.
If you want to follow me, I'm Apple Wheeler on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. Any questions, comments, anything at all, send over at BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, and we will see you again in 2 weeks. We may try and get a video review out of Grand Theft Auto 5 this weekend as well. So don't hold us to that. We're going to try our best. But if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We'll leave you with the video of the seal bugger and
pig. No, we won't. Okay, right, we'll see you. Good night. Ha ha.